Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. Going to talk about some recent purchases that arrived. I don't talk about, like, new books, because I get, like, a boatload of those. Matter of fact, I just got my DCBS shipment. I haven't opened it yet. I processed the last 2 weeks into my database and bagged and boarded them. Now I need to merge those 2 weeks and then get this next set of books scanned into the database and ready to go and merged in with the other two. And that's not my favorite thing to do. It gets me exhausted. I like logging into the database. I don't like one of the things I don't like about comics. Number one reason is space that it takes up. It costs a lot of money. Space is expensive. Number two reason is because when you buy a lot of comics, merging titles into other titles requires it is awful. Matter of fact, I kind of stopped doing it. The last merge I did was probably 15 years ago, but I still merge like a month's worth into a month's worth of books and then get them into the storage unit if they're new. If they're old, I'll merge, like, I don't know, the last five or six long boxes and then leave it at that. And then hopefully when I retire, I'll have some time to do some real merges and have some fun with that and have infinite amount of time to do it instead of just a weekend, which doesn't even count because I podcast and then me and Barb do something on Saturday, and then I have Saturday night with Barb, and I get to read during the day a little bit in the early morning, but we usually go see a movie, and then Sunday's podcasting, Sunday night's podcasting, and then also any shopping we need to do and yard work and housework. So yeah, I don't have that extra time. It's just crazy how fast time goes. But these are recent Kickstarters I got. I got Cheeky Comics annual 2023. And that's from Pat Shand. And then I got a Bad Bug one called Astro Witch, which looks really cool. Those are the two Kickstarters. And then from the Twitter auctions, I got Amazing Spider-Man 179, 188, 189, and also 127. They're in the wrong order. I got Adventures of Jerry Lewis number 75. Some sexy girl on the beach is saying, well, actually, she's got a lounge chair on a whale, and she's saying, "Dear Jerry, my friends will find it hard to believe I have a deluxe cruise on a whale." And Jerry Lewis says, "Well, it's not so deluxe, especially when you consider it has only one shower." And he's using the whale's spout water to shower himself. I got Dennis the Menace. This is from Fawcett, number 73, 12-cent issue. 155, 12-cent issue. And, well, actually, 155 has the cover marked up, so I can't tell you what the cost is, but 154 from 1977, it's still Fawcett, and it's 35 cents, so it just tells you, like, the, you know, what's going on. I got Green Lantern Volume 2. Volume 1 is Golden Age Green Lantern. I don't have any of those comics. Volume 2 is Hal Jordan, so it's Volume 2 Green Lantern, Hal Jordan number 8. I am very close to accomplishing my Green Lantern and Flash Volume 1s. This one, I didn't know how to find in my database because I thought it was called Top Guns of the West, but it's Super DC Giant Presents Top Guns of the West, issue S22, a 25-cent edition. It probably is collecting reprints. It has the Return of Batlashes, DC's Most Unusual Western Hero, plus other DC favorites, Johnny Thunder and the Gauntlet of Thunder. It has Nighthawk, The Man Without a Mask. Haven't seen that fucker in a while. I've seen Johnny Thunder and Batlash, not Nighthawk. And Matt Savage, The Dance. Hall Queen and the Desperado, and more. I got a Western from Marvel, which is the only issue of Gunslinger. It is in the Indishi at Indishi. I can't even pronounce that word anymore. Indishi? Indishi. It's, you know, inside the comic on the first page, it says Gunslinger number one, but on the cover it says Tex Dawson Gunslinger number one. Has six guns blazed a trail of danger across the frontier west. No matter the odds, I'll go down fighting. We got a king-size annual of Tarzan, the Marvel edition, number one. I got this one I had a dupe of, but it was easier during the auction to say all Black Panther. So I didn't need this one, but I have another edition. I have a full run of Marvel Premiere. Even the Doctor Who's, I say that because I don't like Doctor Who. But we got Marvel Premiere number 52 featuring the Black Panther. At last, T'Challa versus the Klan. And then we have Supernatural Thrillers. This is the one that the Living Mummy premiered in. And I have the Living Mummy editions, but I don't have issue 1 and 2. Issue 1 featuring it. And I think this is their first Swamp Monster, if I remember correctly. It was a licensed property, too, that they actually went to go license off a novel, if I remember correctly. Because I have tomorrow's publication of Swamp Monsters, so I know a little bit about them. The ones that I know more about are The Heap, Swamp Thing, of course, and Man-Thing. But there are some others. We got Supernatural Thrillers featuring the Invisible Man, adopted from H.G. Wells books. So this one, yeah, this is the It is adopted from a book by Theodore Sturgeon. So those first two are adaptations that were in Supernatural Thrillers. And then I got a bunch of Jungle Actions I was missing. I'm so close to finishing this. I just want to finish it. Jungle Action, because the reason is because I have the first appearance of Black Panther. I have all the Black Panther volumes after that, but I don't have Jungle Action comics. And it didn't always feature Black Panther. The first few issues don't, but I'd like to have a full run of Jungle comics. This is number 7, which I needed. Number 9. Number 10. Number 11. Number 12. Number 13 and number 14, number 15 and 16 and 17 and 20. And that wraps up this week's back issue purchases. So hope you enjoyed talking about those and also the Kickstarters that are arrived. And now we can get into my top 5 Batman artists. Okay, this is going to be tough because I'm doing this off the cuff. Number 1 is easy. Easy peasy. It's Norm Breyfogle. The Alan Grant, Norm Breyfogle comics. I was just so into Batman at that time. It was awesome. So he's my number one, and he always will. There's no way anybody will knock him off as my Batman artist. Number 2 would be Jim Aparo for his work on Brave and the Bold and the Death in the Family Batman he did. He was an incredible Batman artist. Number 3, Marshall Rogers for his Laughing Fish and the work that he did in Batman, I absolutely love. Number 4 is Frank Miller for the Dark Knight Returns and Batman Year One. You can't, well, actually, he didn't draw Year One, so it's just Batman Returns and all of the volumes of Batman that he did. The Dark Knight Returns 2, and then 3 as well. I love them all. I love them all. Number 2 is a little weird. It even gets weird towards the end. Like, it starts off a little more grounded than it finishes. But I still love it. So Frank Miller's in there. And then number five, gosh, that one gets tough. But I'd probably have to go more current. Let's see. As we go through here. Ooh, I forgot Garcia Lopez, but I don't think of him when I do Batman. Norm Breyfogle is by far my favorite. I would. You got Jim Lee in there, Andy Kubert, Tony Daniel. Oh, man. So you go with Jim Lee? No, I'm gonna go with Kelly Jones for when Batman got his Batman Night Quest kind of era. So that narrows it down. Marshall Rogers, Norm Breyfogle, Jim Aparo, Frank Miller, and Kelly Jones, my top five Batman artists. And I'm gonna take a pause for the cause because I need to do my calculations. For the books read, I'll probably just do 2 weeks because last week I did a bunch, but top five Batman artists. And there could be some that I like missed because there are some really. I'm just gonna scan Detective Comics really quick. Just really quick in the database, just scanning it. There's a lot of Detective Comics. I am appreciating a lot more Golden Age artists as well. There's my Marshall Rogers, Don Newton, Gene Colan, Todd McFarlane for a hot minute. I love Todd McFarlane. Graham Nolan. He did it for a while. Jim Aparo. Lieber, Tommy Costello, Pete Woods, David Laffoon, Andy Clark. Don Kramer, he's really good. Ooh. I forgot about J.H. Williams. Oh my God, but when I see J.H. Williams, I think Batwoman. I don't know why, but he was pretty prevalent in that. And there's a lot of good, great current Batman artists, but that's what I'll go with. So we got the Batman artists, and I'll be back because I had no questions again. So I will just keep doing my top five, making shit up, and then calculate the next 2 weeks of books, which start on 7/3. Oh, and this is going to take a while. There's a lot that week over the holidays. Yeah, I might. We'll see. We'll see how much I'll do. I'll be right back. All right, I'm back, and we're going to talk about books read over the holiday of July 4th. That was when I lost my father-in-law. I was pretty depressed, so it was hard to get started, but I did read through my downtimes, especially in the middle of the night. And I was in Albuquerque helping out with things, but I did get quite a few things read. At least there were 29 items, but I watched some stuff too. I watched Creed 3. I enjoyed that. Probably my least favorite of the Creeds, but still really good. 4 out of 5. Beverly Hills Cop, I rewatched 1 through 3. Enjoyed those. 4 out of 5. Pearl, I watched for the first time. This was the prequel to X. I enjoyed that. That was 4 out of 5. And another 48 Hours, finally. came to streaming, and the at least platforms that I had, and I watched that, and it's 4 out of 5. And then the 5 out of 5 was Dave Stevens Drawn to Perfection. We had 29 comics. This is a simple week. I basically read most of the stuff on the app, because I was out of town. We had Marvel Comics. There were 4. One Kickstarter. Were there? No, there's more than one Kickstarter. Yeah, no, this week there was only one Kickstarter, and 21 DC books. So I was on. I guess I was on the DC app a lot more. But some of them I might have read physical copies of, because I remember reading some of these physical copies. It might have happened before I actually left for Albuquerque, which was on Saturday, so it's probably during the week. The 3 out of 5s were Brute Force number 1. This is a Marvel vertical scroll comic book. I forgot they call them Marvel. Gosh, I can't think of what they call them. But this is about like all cybernetic animals that are were sort of put in place by a scientist, and they look to protect the animal kingdom from humans. It was a Marvel Infinity comic. Give it a 3 out of 5, but I did read the rest of it and I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I read those in the next week, and I bumped it up to 4 out of 5, so it grew on me for sure. I don't like the format still, but in terms of content, like if there was a monthly comic book of Brute Force, I'd be on top of it. I would buy it for sure. And then I want to get some tea to drink because I'm getting thirsty. I just did the dishes because the dish sink was full, and I loaded it up, running it, and then I couldn't fit everything in it, so I washed all those by hand, but I'm gonna rewash them in the dishwasher too. But the other 3 out of 5 was Immortal X-Men. I'm losing interest on this Sinister stuff. Ever since they broke apart from the main books, it's kind of losing me, and they're jumping like decades apart. And I don't know. This is Emma 10 years later fighting the Sinisters, even though she is reincarnated with Sinister in her, in her body, in her splicing. We have Monica Rambeau, Photon number 4. She seems stuck on this world, married to Jericho Drum. She's like in an alternate universe because she has like superpowers to like she can go across dimensions, across worlds, and she seems to have done that here. And in this world, she's married to Jericho Drum. She's sort of playing the part. She confronts the Beyonder again and realizes that she herself is an Omega level powerful person that can change reality, much like Molecule Man. We have X-Men Unforgiven number 1. This is the X-Men encountering the Unforgiven, which is a group of vampires. Jubilee knows them from her previous encounters because she was a vampire, so she's aware of them. We have the 4 out of 5s, Waller versus Wildstorm 1 and 2. This, I believe, is an Elseworlds where Amanda is a young Checkmate operative manipulating things when Battalion and Stormwatch get involved. It has members of Team 7 and Deathstroke, so it's like an alternate world there in the Black Label. These were magazine formatted. We have Power Girl Special number 1, Power Girl with the help of Omen. Take on Johnny Sorrow as he attacks major cities on Earth Prime. If Power Girl, I always get the way like Johnny Sorrow looks in Psycho Pirate. I think they look sort of similar, even though Johnny Sorrow's face is sort of detached, his mask is sort of detached from his body and just floats there. Whereas Psycho Pirate's just a regular dude that puts on this mask, and when he takes it off, he can make faces and he can help make people manifest emotion and do things. So, this one is In Power Girl, they take him on, and it looks like she will lose the powers she got in the Lazarus Pit planet invasion. It's got a fire and ice backup. They have a run-in with a guy and Superman, and decide to take a trip to Smallville. That one wasn't as good as the Power Girl, which is kind of weird to say because Power Girl in action wasn't lighting me on fire, but I think this one shot kind of got me, at least on the creative team for sure. I started winning me over. The fire and ice one, it was okay, but it wasn't like knocking my socks off. I was entertained. But as a whole, I was very entertained. I really liked it. Steelworks number one, John Henry and his company, they're to protect Metropolis without supers like Superman, and wants to talk the Superman family about it. Meanwhile, the man who owned the company that John Henry took down is forming an alliance and giving powers to another individual who has a grudge against John Henry. And he actually becomes a villain because I read number two. This is a good book. I like it. It's very like it takes a while to read. It's corporate centered because John Henry's trying to brief the government, trying to get the city to buy into this idea that he has, and as well as his superhero friends, you know? So he's got like two people to win over. We got Superboy, the Man of Tomorrow. Superboy and the Cometeers go after Dominator, the Dominator, X and his fleet. Looks like the leader of the Cometeers betrays Superboy. The Green Lantern Corps is now involved because they looks like the Cometeers murdered the prisoners they were supposed to capture. We have Night Terror's Batman. Yes, this did show up on the app early. Insomnia goes after Batman Bruce Wayne so she can relive his parents' death. Also, a Robin Damian story, which was pretty good. We have Superman number five. Jimmy tries to protect Silver Banshee from Superman as they're in a relationship. Clark loses his hearing in the battle, but he is healing. Dr. Farm and Mr. Graff confront Superman as projections and sent people to kill Lex Luthor in prison. We have Night Terror's First Blood number one. Deadman takes over Batman's body to tell them Insomnia is coming after them. Dr. Destiny dies, and Insomnia is let loose and goes after the DC Trinity. That was kind of like the event that launched the DC Terrors. We have Sun Devils 1 and 2. This was the winner of the DC Spotlight. A war is brewing, and a family has one son that goes to war, and another tries to being a politician because he thinks things will remain at peace. But his world is destroyed, and his teams up with others to fight the reptilian race, the evil reptilian race. We have New York World's Fair 1939. This must have been a. This was Superman uses his powers to steal a scoop. It uses the World's Fair and saves an exhibit, stops a jewel heist and a Lois kidnapping. That one I don't own. I read that digitally from the Superman Omnibus, which that's where I'm reading most of the real action comics, volume one stuff that start with single issue numbers. We have Cyborg number two. Cyborg absorbs the computer memory of his father into himself. He also takes down Shrapnel and Fastball and imprisons them in Star Lab with Mammoth and Gizmo. Vic's father once, and he saves an exhibit, stops a jewel heist, and a Lois kidnapping. That's the wrong stuff. Vic's father once in the Star Labs computer warns them of Solus and says they need to go over there now. So sorry about that. I'm getting cross-sighted reading my notes. Cyborg, that was number two. We have Titans number two. The Titans have to solve the murder of Wally West Flash. A Temerian fire blast from space demolishes a forest, and a new Brother Blood called Brother Eternity makes his appearance on TV, stating he wants to enhance technology to save the human race through crowdfunding. We have Sister Mercy. This was a Kickstarter. The finale, this ended really well. This Kickstarter I supported issue by issue from issue one, and I did win an actual page of art on one of the issues because he was giving away as an incentive. A random person got, you know, some actual art, and I got actual art from Sister Mercy. The finale, she has defeated the Black Pope, but he becomes a huge demon called Mammon. She defeats him by crashing in a rig into his body, and she drowns. When she wakes up, she finds she can't talk to God anymore. She had the ability to talk to God, and now she can't. And then it has a twisted end in, like, was this a dream sequence? Did this really happen? Because she wakes up in an insane asylum. I just thought it was very surprising, and I enjoyed the hell out of that. I gotta let Harley out. But we have Action Comics 252, which I'll get to in a bit. Drink some more tea, let Harley outside. She's not gonna be out there long because it's hotter than a motherfucker. I had to go to the storage unit to get some boxes, and I didn't have them made up, my drawer boxes. So I was in the storage unit making boxes, and it was so hot because I was contemplating mowing the grass tonight, and I just feel like the sun is brutal today. It's probably the hottest it's been in weeks. For a summertime, we've been pretty mild. We've been getting rain every night. But man, is it hot today. We have Action Comics 252. Another highly entertaining comic is the first Supergirl. I was reading 80 years of Action Comics or some anniversary thing. And this was it collected a bunch of issues. And one of the issues was the first appearance of Supergirl, the real one. I have the prototype issue, but this one's really expensive. It would be really hard for me to add this to my list. I read this one in a collected edition. Also very cool. I didn't realize how Superman kept her a secret for so long. So, like, Supergirl appeared, and he didn't let the world know about her for a while. Like, she was doing good things and saving the day, but it was many issues later, like 285, when they publicly announced it. So it also has Action Comics 285. It was weird how the Action Comics celebration hardcover did have several Supergirl issues, you know, and didn't just focus on Superman. This is the issue where Superman announces Supergirl to the world, and everyone celebrates. It also is where Supergirl has her first mission as Superman goes into the distant future for a mission. So he can not only fly to other planets, he can move so fast into the future that he's actually in the year 3330, you know, like, he's way out there. This is when he's super powerful. This one on 285, I do own the single issue. So I did read it. I didn't read it in a single issue form. I read it in this collected edition. And then Action Comics number 12, this is going back to the omnibus of the Golden Age stuff. Superman declared, this is a good issue. So the 5 out of 5 started with Action, by the way. Action Comics number 12, Superman declares war on drunk drivers, reckless drivers, car manufacturers, a radio station, and a mayor. This read like an Injustice Superman. I love this issue. We have Supergirl and the Lost Children 3-6. Supergirl teams up with the Lost Children and Red Arrow to fight an Android Hour Man who is being controlled. This is the Android Hour Man we saw in 1 million, DC 1 million. He even spawned his own series. Like, not a lot of characters got a book after DC 1 million. That I think Grant Morrison did, created that. And Hour Man did. He got his own book. And this wasn't the Rick Tyler or whatever his name, the Marilaco. It does have to do with that drug, though. Like, he's got, this android has something to do with that drug. Marilaco? Is that how you pronounce it? Marilaco? It's a miracle type drug that gives you 1 hour of power. So, that Hour Man is being controlled by a future Corky time traveler. So Corky is the sidekick to Rip Hunter. Wing makes the ultimate sacrifice. That's Wing of Crimson Avenger. He's the sidekick to Crimson Avenger. To save the others at the cost of his life, the Lost Children are stuck in the current time, which is our, you know, current DC time. And it looks like they will be like the young All-Stars in future issues of JSA. So we will see how that grows as we get our JSA. Action Comics number 242. This is the first appearance of Brainiac. Incredible story. Could be one of my favorite Superman stories ever. Makes me really want this issue, but it is going for about $1,000 for like a 2.0, so really low grade. But it has so many crazy laugh out moments with Brainiac, and it's just so much damn fun. It's like, starts, if I remember correctly, I don't have any notes on this, but Superman and Lois get called by NASA to go do some space exploration. They're not even wearing, they're just in their reporter outfits. They get launched in a SpaceX rocket. I'm just kidding about SpaceX, but they get launched in a rocket up into space and have a run-in with Brainiac, and he's got shields and he really fucks up everything. And Superman decides, or Clark decides, I better change to Superman, so I gotta convince Lois that I'm gonna go get help. So he puts on this space protective suit with jetpacks. Like, he could enter the Earth's atmosphere and everything. It's so ridiculous. And gets into the spacesuit to go get help. And Lois stays on the ship. And later on, Brainiac, he zaps Metropolis. He zaps LA. He zaps New York. He takes a bunch of cities. He bottleizes them. They're right there next to Kandor of Krypton. And then Superman gets shrunk down to small size and is in the world of Kandor. He finds out how, with the Kandor scientist he's working with, how to break out. And Brainiac is asleep, so he frees. He uses the ray to enlarge himself and then send the cities back to Earth like they were originally supposed to be, and fixes things as well as he can. And then Brainiac is in cyber sleep, so when he shows up home, he's not going to have any bottled cities. This goes great. A great fucking comic. Action Comics 242. Highly recommend a read there if you want an enjoyable story. We have 710 through 716. Things watched. Let me scroll down here. I watched Horror of Dorothy Roach. This has the actress that was in the Netflix show One Day at a Time, which is the remake of One Day at a Time with new characters. And Rita Moreno is the mother. She's not the, she's the grandmother to two kids and the single mother. So, And they have a guy that maintains the house, like kind of like the maintenance guy that used to maintain it in the original Valerie Bertinelli TV show. I can't remember the two actresses. Mackenzie. Somebody Mackenzie was in there. And what was the guy's name? The maintenance guy. I forget what his name is, but he has that name in the new one too. So I really like the remake. It's a shame that that series didn't hit it well, you know, like it had two seasons, but I wish it had much more. I really liked it. I think when I was at C2E2, I discovered it. If I remember, we were casting it or watching it on the iPad, me, Bill, and Barb, or maybe it was just me and Barb after Bill left, but I really liked that. That was really good. I'm getting hungry. I didn't eat much today, and I went for a skin like inspection so they could tell you if you have skin cancer. It's like a body inspection. And I just had skin tags. So they froze one and they said, "Oh, it'll fall off. The other ones are going to be cosmetic." And I was like, "That's fine. They're not big." And they checked everything above the waist, but they didn't check me underneath. I guess, but I don't have anything to really check. I guess they could check my wiener, but I wasn't gonna let that happen. I was gonna, if I had to strip down, I'd have just stripped down to my boxers. That's as comfortable as I am with it. But I had a woman in there. It goes to show, like, if young Mike was there, I would have asked for a male doctor for, you know, to take my clothes off, but it goes to show I don't give a fuck, and I'm pretty disgusting now. I'm pretty fat, but I guess I just don't care. You know, like when doctors are there, I figure I need to show an ugly body to medical science every now and then, because not everybody could be beautiful. But we saw The Horror of Dorothy Roach. This was there was a musical that had Johnny Depp, and it was about a serial killer. And this was kind of like that. I forget what that was called. But this played off of it, and it was a Blumhouse feature, and it was 8 episodes. Maybe it was 12 episodes. But it's about a woman that got framed for weed distribution by her boyfriend, and then she went to prison for like 7 years. She gets out of prison, she has nobody. She tries to track down her boyfriend, but there's a empanada store, and she goes to the empanada store, and the guy says, "Well, you can live here. My dad passed away, and you can live in his room," which was odd, but she had nowhere else to go. And then it just turns into like a murder cannibalism thing. That's as far as I'll go. That one was on Amazon Prime, I believe. Hijack is a 4 out of 5. It is really good. It could be a 5 out of 5. We have one episode. Probably watch that episode tonight. We are watching Twisted Metal now, so I don't know if we're gonna finish Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal's really good too, but Hijack is really good. That's an Apple Plus TV show. Idris Elba, really cool. I don't know like what's gonna happen in this finale. There's gonna be a lot of stuff that needs to get wrapped up. Either that or it's gonna enter a season two. I don't know. That's a possibility I haven't thought of. But the 5 out of 5 was Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I really liked it. I know there's a lot of people that bitch, and I think it was considered a flop in terms of a Disney movie. They expected it to do a lot better. There's a lot of movies flopping, and then there's a lot of movies that are surprises, like Oppenheimer and Barbie. I think Barbie's exceeded expectations. I think Super Mario Brothers exceeded my expectations. There's been a lot of superhero flops lately. Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3 being the exception. A lot of DC flops. They're not able to recoup their money back. I think worldwide they do, but they consider it a flop if you can't, you know, double your money in the United States. I don't know how that comes in. Maybe it's a lot of advertising or how that money comes in from foreign distribution. I don't know. But we have 25 comics read, 1 Tokyo Pop, 6 Marvel, 2 Kickstarters, 5 Image, 4 Dynamite, 5 Comixology, 1 AWA, and 1 Ablaze. So start at the 3 out of 5s. We have Vampirella versus Red Sonja. This is a... I liked it more when I read more of it, but it isn't what I expected. I expected a clash between Vampirella and Red Sonja. But what it really turns out to be is a multiverse involving the superpowers, you know, Project Superpowers that Dynamite has with all the heroes. And one of the worlds gets destroyed by one of the sidekicks, the sidekick to... God, what is that guy's name? He has a crossbones, a skull on his chest. The Black Terror. The Black Terror has a sidekick that is the main big bad, along with the entity that takes over that sidekick, that Black Terror's sidekick. But Vampirella and Red Sonja are prisoners in this issue, and one of the heroes, I don't know if it's Green Llama or the young girl that her name is like something Dynamite or something, that they sort of convince them that in order to stop this multiverse, they really need the help of Red Sonja and Vampirella. Vampirella, they don't trust at all, but Red Sonja, they take on their adventure with them to the other world. And with the scientist that's supposed to be badass, but he like gets to a world and finds out magic's real, and he like loses his fucking mind. And meanwhile, Vampirella's there, and she says, "Well, I can help because I'm magic." So they eventually let her out, and she does help them, and they do recover from this event. They lose some lives, but the multiverse is stable, I guess, as much as it were. Will be with that world, Black Terror's world, I think, still destroyed. But those creatures that were on that world and the magic was brought upon their space station, because they have like a multiversal space station that sits upon like all the multiverse, you know, like a JLA satellite, but it's like a satellite that monitors the multiverse. But it was really good. We had Storm number 2. Storm finds a new lover, and he might have an alternative motive. Her powers still seem out of control. I'm enjoying this. This is the Anacente book. The art's a little weird, but it's still an enjoyable art style to me. A lot of people replying on my Facebook said, "I like Anacente, but this art is terrible." Why do they post it when I say I'm enjoying it? I don't know. I guess to put their opinion that they don't like it. But when somebody says something good, you know, I don't ever go on anybody's post, say I like something, and then when they say I like something, oh, that's a piece of shit. Like, I don't... I mean, they like it, and I'm not going to go onto their wall or their feed and tell them that they're wrong, you know? I don't know. I think that's just wrong. You got nothing nice to say, don't say it at all. I don't know. That's kind of like what my dad always taught me. If you don't have anything nice to say, it's not worth saying. I guess I go by that. Not all the time. Sometimes at work I say some stuff. But I try to follow that. At least with entertainment, I do. Like, I don't care. You either like it or you don't. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. We talked about Brute Force. Brute Force 2 through 6. This one I did. The team is framed for an attack on NASA. And it turns out that the monkey that was launched into space wants to kill all the humans, and appearances by the FF and Dr. Octopus. So it's ingrained in the Marvel Universe. I really like this. I think it has potential. I could make some cool action figures too, these cybernetic animals. Like, I would like to have some Brute Force. It reminds me of like a toy line back in the, you know, like when ROM and the Micronauts and stuff were coming out, and the just stuff like that. Transformers. We have Children of the Black Sun. This is about a post-apocalyptic scenario where the sun has like two events. I don't remember if the events were like 10 years apart. The first event caused like a massive death count because people just got ill. The second sun event caused like more people to go crazy and turn zombie-like and just start turning on each other and killing each other. And then there was some peace after the second event, but there's going to be a third event. And during this, I don't remember if it was the first event or the second event, but during one of the events, there were kids born while the sun was doing that thing, and they look like Village of the Damned. I don't know if you ever saw the there's Children of the Corn. You probably heard of that more than Village of the Damned, but Village of the Damned was a black and white movie, and I think they remade that movie with Christopher Reeve later on. But it had this creepy pale kids with white hair. That's kind of what these Children of the Black Sun, and they look like they're harmless, mid book, but as you keep reading on, you're like, these guys might have something to do with triggering the third event of the Black Sun. So, yeah, I don't think they're up to any good. I think there's going to be another mass slaughter. We have Trojan number one. This is in the future fantasy characters are hunted down and killed for viewing pleasure, kind of like in a Red Room scenario. The main character is trying to get caught for money to be tortured for her family. And is using a dark web hacker to achieve her goals. First read, not as impressed with it. But I enjoyed it. I was thinking more of a 3 out of 5. But the second read and then discussion on Geek Brunch, I bumped this up. I liked it more than just I really liked it. I thought it was good. We have Torrent number four. This is. She goes to battle with her fellow superheroes because now, she wants revenge, and the superheroes don't want her to go kill somebody, so they sort of turn on her as like the Justice League would. We have Noor 1 and 2. This is a Shadow, Black Sparrow, and Miss Fury go after a Native American treasure. It's a fun series. It's really well written. I thought so. We have Widow 1 and 2. This is a good Kickstarter. I like this Kickstarter doing two issues at once. A couple people done this. I saw it with Widow, and then I saw Jimmy Palmiotti do it with Painkiller Jane, and I really liked the paradigm is Kickstart two issues at once. And he did 1 and 2, and then he had another Kickstarter 3 and 4. I read this pretty quick to when I received him because I knew he was going to kick off 3 and 4, and I had to decide, is it something worthwhile? And I believe it is. The FBI and DEA agent get trapped on an island after a drug bust, and the widow looks like she might kill them. Like, she already killed one of the islanders, and if she had the opportunity to try to kill these two agents, but it hasn't worked out exactly right yet. So I'm looking forward to issue 3 and 4. I really want to learn more about Widow. I always get Widow confused because Widow was on, had an Avatar book at the time, and then there was Web Witch, who's also sort of like spider related. So Avatar had two like spider related heroes, and this is Widow. We have Void Rivals number one, Enemy Mine with Transformers. Enemy Mine is a movie with Dennis Quaid and Louis Gossett Jr. Louis Gossett Jr., I think, plays the alien. And this is sort of like two aliens that were fighting, land on a world, and then find out that they really shouldn't be fighting and they have to work together to get off. And the big surprise in this one, which if you don't know by now, I don't know how you avoided it, but they found a Transformer on this world too, so it takes place in the Hasbro Transformer universe. And going forward, we might even see the. Go watch the new Transformers movie. I was totally surprised. It was badass. Probably this was my favorite Transformer movie. Even more than Bumblebee. I loved Bumblebee, but this new Transformers movie I just thought was kick ass. I was really impressed with it. It's on Paramount Plus. That was Void Rivals. Haunt You to the End, the last 4 out of 5. This one I liked a lot. A rich man hires a team to investigate a haunted island before a huge storm hits that island. Destroys almost everything in a post-apocalyptic world. On the way there, the pilot has a seizure, and he's never had a seizure before, but they land and they have to attend to the pilot. The island was home to a fuel corporation and has had many employee deaths, and that's why this guy is investigating it, mostly because he's rich and because he likes to investigate the supernatural, but he's taking along a reporter with him and a couple of military adventures, and they're gonna go find out what happens. I thought it was a good book from Image Comics. We got Barnstormers. I read this as a trade, but it was 5 issues that came out on Comixology. I read this because it won an Eisner, or I knew it was nominated for an Eisner, and I knew that I had to use my Comixology Unlimited app, and what better way to. What I decided to do for a lot of the Comixology Unlimited is to look at the books that are solicited in the Dark Horse section, see what's being printed, and then find out do I want to read it? Because I don't want to I don't want to buy a book when I'm paying for a service, and I can read it digitally. But this was such a good. This is a really good. I mean, if you like the time era of the Rocketeer, and you like those stunt planes and all that stuff. Well, this is about, a stunt plane guy that inherits the plane from some other guy in the insane asylum. And he's only insane because he sort of got electrocuted in his job and it sort of fried him. But then on the other side of the story, there's a girl that's being forced into a marriage in order to save her family's farm. And she gets into this fiasco with this pilot. They eventually form a relationship, and her husband, or her to-be husband, is sort of the bad guy that's chasing him around from city to city as they were heading towards Florida. It's excellent. 5 out of 5. Savage Dragon 265. Their son is found, the young son, and then Dart's son is killed by samurai, which was pretty funny because they make fun of samurai a lot because she has that sash and she has like that thing that drapes over her vagina and her ass, but there's no panties underneath. So Malcolm is like looking at it. It's like, oh my God, that's nasty, man. You ought to get that checked out. But she does kill the little boy. And Insect was dead in the previous issue, who was taking care of the boy, who was Dart's son. So, yeah. We'll see what happens. Click click boom boom. This was click click boom. This was number 1. Another Image book. A girl who is mute and communicates with Polaroids goes after a bad corporation, Minerva World Services, and then meets up with a news podcaster to try to help her. And she does have to communicate through pictures. Like she doesn't know sign language or anything. She takes pictures of the Polaroid and kind of points to things and. That's how she communicates. It was a really good book, Image Comics. And that's where I'm gonna end up. I don't, only 3 weeks behind. I'm doing pretty good. Especially if I do 2 a week. I'll be caught up before I know it. I'll be caught up like in 2 weeks, 2 episodes of this. So you have been listening to Mike M's weekly reads. I do need more questions. You can send them to at Mike Myers Brunch on X or Twitter. That's what they call it now. And people are making a big deal. We need to leave. It sucks. I don't notice any difference. I might not spend a lot of time on there, but I do spend at least half hour a day on Twitter. Not including on Saturday when I post everything I read. I probably spend an hour on Saturday. But I no, it's probably it takes doesn't take me long to post. So it's probably a half hour on Saturday too. I do most of my reading of Twitter in the middle of the night,
and right after work, right before while food's getting made, I look at Twitter just to see what's happening. And but anyway, at Mike Myers Brunch, send me questions there, and I will answer them on the show, and I'd be happy to answer them on the show. You can send me questions to my email at mike@comicbooknoise.com, and you can reach me at geekbrunchpodcast.com. On Facebook, you can go to Geek Brunch Podcast, click the like button, and follow all the episode threads there. You can ask questions there as well. And we'll see you soon. Thank you for listening, and have a good weekend. Bye.